Good morning. Some years ago, they had the usual annual retreat for priests, and were looking for a speaker. Now, this is a job that very few people will take. Can you imagine preaching to a room full of preachers? They're not listening to your message. They're sitting there criticizing your technique and figuring out how they could have done it better. A worse audience would be hard to find. But they came up with this name, talked to him, he agreed to do it, who had a national, international reputation for precisely that, giving priest retreats, especially. So everybody was actually kind of anxious to hear him, especially anxious to critique him a little. So you get there in the evening, have dinner, settle in. Then the first conference is at 8 o'clock in chapel. So all the guys are assembled in chapel at 8 o'clock. And nothing happens. He's not there. 5 after. 10 after. This is only scheduled for an hour, and he's 10 minutes into it already. He hasn't shown up yet. 7:45, he finally walks down the aisle. He goes, well, this better be good. He walks up to the altar rail and kneels down and begins to pray. Quietly. To himself. Silent. Finally he gets up and turns around, looks at the man and says, want to ask you to do me one favor. Think, close your eyes, think of one particular moment in your life when you felt especially close to God. Could it be something happened when you were a little kid, something during your ministry, something in seminary, something in liturgy this morning or at your first Mass, any time in your life when you felt particularly close to God, but a particular time. He sat down quietly for another 5 minutes to let them do that. He's now halfway through his allotted hour. That's all he said. Finally stood up, turned around and said, gentlemen, if you don't feel that close to God right now, who moved? And he walked out. Left them to sit there for the next 30 minutes and contemplate who moved. This morning's gospel is like that. Who moved? The Father didn't change. He was the same extravagant, slightly insane person from beginning to the end. Look at him at the beginning. He is acceding to this not only impertinent, but absurd request. I mean, under inheritance laws, the older son gets a double portion, right? So with two kids, he gets 2/3, this young guy gets 1/3. He didn't want to wait for it. Give me now what will be coming to me. I don't know about you, but I have a fair idea what would have happened to me if I'd said that to my father. A long time before I contemplated sitting on my posterior. But the Father does it. Insane, perhaps, but he does it. Kid comes home. Doesn't get halfway through his carefully rehearsed apology and wheedle. I mean, he's still using the old man, right? Old man just starts showering stuff on him. And the other son as well, the good guy, who is more than justifiably upset. He goes out to him. Fathers don't go out to anybody in the culture. Sons come in. They crave audience with their father. The father does. He goes out to him and begins to plead with him. Plead! Fathers don't plead. They give orders. Begins to plead with him. Father hasn't changed from beginning to the end. He's the same guy in the story. What's changed? Obviously, the awareness and the attitude of the sons. The beginning, younger son is just thinking of him as a cash cow. Get the good stuff and go party. In the middle, it's a little better, but not a whole lot. He's lowered his sights somewhat, but he's still looking on Daddy as a purveyor of benefits. It's only by the time he gets home, his father wraps his arms around him, that he begins to appreciate who the old man really is. It's his attitude that changes step by step by step. His awareness that changes step by step by step. And so in shortened form for the older son as well. That's one of the spiritual disciplines that we're looking at this Lent. Spiritual reflection, spiritual awareness. This is something we all know we practice and don't practice anywhere near the way we should. We pray that in God we live and move and have our being. And yet we don't notice it. We don't notice Him, her, them. We don't notice God's presence in our lives. Who is God for you? Where is God for you? Is God something that, someone that, something, whatever, that you have to seek out and wait for and hope for? Are you still waiting for the mystical experience that will engulf you in this overwhelming feeling of God's presence that you might have had once when you were a kid, or certainly been told about by every nun you ever had in school? Certainly the founder of their order had that kind of experience. You know? And sooner or later, so will you if you're good enough. Or maybe it's just for them, you know, and I don't get it at all. But it's out there somewhere. Or is God more pedestrian? Is God there every day? Is God in the workaday world, the live-a-day world? Can you see God in the world around you? Can you see God in the people around you? Can you see God in your interaction with them? God hasn't moved. God hasn't changed. It's our awareness level that's open to change. And that's the planting of seeds from which the harvest comes. That shovel may be a little larger than I would use to plant most seeds. You get the idea. You go out there, seed by seed by seed, down the row. And ultimately, something will come up. Something will grow. But you got to start somewhere. And one of the places to start is to become a little more aware of God's presence. Reflect on what you see. Reflect on what you hear. Reflect on what you do. Reflect on the way you interact with people. And look for the presence of God. It's not something esoteric that will come to you out of the blue and overwhelm you and take you out of where you are. And then hopefully lower you gently back in there when you're done. Those kind of experiences are rare. And they are, from those who have experienced of those who have had them, insignificant. You read accounts by the great mystics. And they say, you know, that stuff is incidental. Now this is what's important. And the this they're talking about is the day-to-day stuff. Even for them. It's the day-to-day awareness of God's presence in our world. Not the waiting to be lifted out to God's world. That is where the action really is. So that's something, another spiritual discipline to think about during Lent. Another way to plant seed. Open your eyes, your ears, your mind, your heart, and try to be a little more aware of the presence of God that's already there, of the personality of God that doesn't change, of the mercy of God that's always been there. It's there. All we have to do to see it. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.